Hey, what's up, guys? This is Calvin, sitting here on my balcony in New York City. I've been thinking about, a lot about the situation we're in here with the coronavirus and the pandemic, the shutdowns, all of that stuff, right? As it stands right now, for example, I wouldn't be able to get back into the country if I leave the country. My parents are 81 and 84 years old. They're doing fine. They're in good health. So there's no, you know, I'm not really concerned about them. But if they were to get ill or anything like that, well, I could go visit them. If they were to pass away, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But if it did, you know, I would be able to go there at funeral, but I wouldn't be able to come back home to my home in New York anytime soon. I would be stuck outside of the country. So this is definitely affecting me personally. I have two kids. They're 12 and 15. They live in Denmark with their mom. I haven't seen them since December. They're supposed to be here in April. They're supposed to be here in July. They're not able to enter the country again. I could go visit them there, but then I wouldn't be able to come back home either. So stuff is definitely happening. And I know this is just like a small, tiny microcosm of how it affects so many other people, right? I've been very fortunate that it hasn't really affected my business negatively. We were already a fully remote company. We serve other small businesses that are remote and companies that want to go remote or go online. So we've been fine through this. But I can't help but think, you know, so I got sick pretty early on. I think the last time I had a fever was 10 years ago, and I ended up having a fever for 3 days. I lost my sense of smell for a week or something. And I was like, I was a little like nervous at that when I discovered that, because I really appreciate my sense of smell. But thankfully it came back and it's been fine. And I think it was probably COVID. I don't know. I haven't gotten tested. I don't really care to. And then my wife had, you know, similar symptoms, and she was down for like a week. And then we've both been fine ever since. And I honestly think, like, so from early on, every indicator that I saw was that this thing was way less fatal. Like, it's essentially what it comes down to is immune system. Let me back up a second and say the reason I'm talking about this is because it's on my mind, but also what I'm here to do is expose and challenge any misrepresentations of truth that are out there. That is my objective. I want to find the hill that I'm prepared to die on is the hill of truth, of integrity, of just discover what is real here, what is the truth. And from everything that I've seen, this virus comes down to immune system. If your immune system is fine, you're fine. Like, really, like, completely fine. All right? You may be sick for a couple days, and that's it. There don't seem to be any long-term consequences. It's, like, you know, it's much, much, much better to just contract it and get it over with, and then go about your daily life. Than it is to live, you know, month after month after month in fear of this virus, right? Like, I've noticed people here in New York are having a hard time just even having eye contact, right? Like, you were wearing masks and, like, you can't see if the other person is smiling or not. Like, I think this whole lockdown, this whole staying isolated, this whole being in this state of fear of other people, fear of social contact, fear of eye contact, I think that is way more harmful to us. Like, we don't understand, as a society, we don't understand how powerful our mind is on our bodies, right? Like, our mental state has a huge impact on our physical well-being and our physical health and the ability of diseases to get into our system, right? To catch on with us. Like, you know, every single double-blind test study of a new drug, right, is double-blind because we know that there's a placebo effect, which is to say that we know that the human mind has an effect on the body, that if you believe you're taking a drug that's going to cure you, then chances are you're going to get cured just from believing that you're taking that drug, right? And so we know with absolute certainty that this is real, this is happening, this is a thing. We're not taking that seriously at all. We're not taking that seriously at all, right? The you know, living in this state of lack of social contact, we're social beings. We were meant to be together. You know, sitting in a room with someone. I was just with Matt, my COO, in Denver for a couple weeks ago. Just actually spending time together in person, working out and working and cooking and eating and all these things, gives you energy, right? It feeds you. It nourishes my soul. You know, sitting on a Zoom call all day, I feel fucking drained at the end of the day, right? Like, Zoom fatigue is a real thing. Like, it ain't the same, guys. It's not the same. I'm sick and tired of this, like, society moving to all fucking virtual. Like, I was gonna go to Tony Robbins' UPW event back in March in San Jose. That got canceled. Then it got moved to Dallas this month, then that got canceled, and he tried to push me on to like a virtual version of the UPW. I have zero interest in going to a virtual UPW. Zero interest whatsoever. Now I'm also signed up for Date with Destiny in December. That's moving virtual too. I have zero interest in going to a virtual event. I want the in-person live experience. Anyway, all of the data that I've seen is that this disease, and this isn't also like, all the data I've seen is like, it doesn't affect young like kids, right? It doesn't affect kids. They don't contract it, and they also don't carry it, right? So there's no reason that schools should be closed. No reason that I can think of that schools should be closed. And again, having kids home from school is harmful to them, right? Like, maybe they're in a toxic environment. Maybe kids need to be out and playing with their friends, right? Teaching kids that friends are dangerous is a terrible development. And this has been going on for a long, long time. There's a book that I love called Free Range Kids. Like, it used to be that, you know, you just let your kids roam around free, right? Like, they could just go around and get in trouble, right? Like, that's what you did. My brother and I, we would climb trees and we would fall down and we would hurt ourselves. And that's part of growing up. It's part of being a kid. And now it's like, oh no, you know, there's all this like, oh, this is dangerous, this is dangerous, this could happen. I've noticed this with my own kids too. Like, they've been instructed to be so careful of the cars on the tiny, tiny road that they live on. Like, these cars go less than 5 miles an hour and they're very careful, and it's like a little private commune, so everybody knows each other. And yet, like, as soon as they see a car like hundreds of yards away, you can see their bodies tense up and they're like, careful, and like scrambling to go to the side. Living in that kind of state of fear of the world is not helpful at all. It's terrible. Like, fear, living in a constant state of anxiety, is harmful to human beings at a deep, deep level, physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. It's not healthy. I'm going to have a zip of my tea here. A sip, not a zip. So, again, not harmful to kids, not really harmful to people that don't have a compromised immune system, right? And that's the kicker, is living in a state of fear and anxiety is gonna harm your immune system. There's all kinds of data too showing that, you know, married people do better, people with more friends are more healthy, like social connection is a huge part of stimulating us and making us positive and improving our immune system, right? So I think that our whole approach to this virus is making it a lot worse. We're shutting down the economy. Businesses are shutting down. I just heard the other day of a dance studio in Manhattan that reopened, and they were doing all the security precautions, all that like safety theater bullshit that we have to do now with the masks and the distancing and all that stuff, which I think is complete crap. Like, yes, I'm not saying that masks and social distancing isn't doing something to help to stop the spread. I'm sure it does something, but I don't think that it is going to be, it's clearly not stopping the spread, right? We've locked down, we have mask mandate, we have all this stuff, social distancing for months and months, and the virus is still spreading. I think at this point, it's just like, all right, protect the elderly, protect the ones with compromised immune systems, and then let it rip. Let it rip. I don't think there's any other way forward here. I'm sorry, but I don't think that there is. And on that note, we don't have good data on how bad that actually would be because of this whole like deliberate misrepresentation of stats, right? Like, you know, people being counted as dead of COVID when they died with COVID, right? Died of a stabbing wound or a car accident and then chalked up as COVID death because they got tested after they were dead or whatever. And it turned out they had COVID, right? So like, all these shenanigans that mean that I have zero trust in the official data, or not zero, like, but I have very little trust in the official data, right? So there's a good case to be made that the vast majority of the people that have died and chalked up to COVID they would have died of something within 3 to 6 to 9 months or something like that. So it moved up the timeline a little bit, but they would have died of something anyway. They're fairly easily knocked over, right? It's too bad. Yeah, it's terrible. Let's do everything we can to protect those people, but we can't shut down the entire country because of it, because that the harm of that is just so much greater. Suicide, depression, drug addiction, businesses shut down, dreams, doused, right? Dreams killed. And like, anyone who's resilient already is going to do okay here. Like, you know, you adapt and you grow and you learn. And that's the challenge for each and every one of us, right? But everyone else who were already struggling, they're just going to be struggling harder. And we had plenty of people in this country that were already struggling, and they're not doing much better. So back to the dance studio that I was talking about. So Dance Studio Manhattan, they were doing everything right. And then someone ratted them out for something that they missed, right? Whatever. Or maybe claimed that they missed or whatever. And like, I don't know whom. And then, you know, some inspector came and then they got shut down, but not just shut down as in like, no, you need to lock down our gun, but shut down for good. Kicked out of the place, the lease, and just like completely shut down. Like, you know, nuked, right? Was that a competitor, right? Like, what happened there? This whole vindictiveness from the government and like overreach from the government, where like the government, like Andrew Cuomo saying like, if you keep violating these orders, we're gonna punish you and lock down, like, you know, businesses losing their licenses, like, you know, restaurants losing their liquor licenses or their business licenses and all of that stuff. This is Soviet Union style behavior. Like, it's really not, it's terrifying and it's terrible that you can, like, the dance studio again, that someone, if this is what happened, and I don't know all the details, right, but that you can invoke the government to shut down someone that you don't like. Maybe it's a competitor, you know. And generally, there's a book that I read some years ago called, I think it's called Three Felons a Day. Like, we've gotten to a place in this country where we have so many laws that each and every one of us is pretty much committing 3 felonies a day, and we're not even aware of it. Which means that now the government can get to you anytime they want, because just keep digging enough and you're going to find some felonies that you committed, right? Simply because there are just so many laws on the books that none of us really know what they are, and it's practically impossible to follow all of them, which is obviously not helpful. So my mission here is like, just first of all, like, just expose what's going on and be real with each other about what is actually going on. Like, you know, and it's really hard not to think that there is a deliberate bias in the media in in what is what the story that's being told, the narrative that's being told, right? Like, keep recording, put reporting on case counts, which is completely irrelevant, right? If the thing is not dangerous at all, it doesn't matter how many gets it. Like, in fact, we want as many people as possible to get it so that they can build antibodies. I mean, that is what a vaccine is, right? Is you inject the disease, not enough to make you sick, but enough to make your body start to build antibodies. That is what a vaccine is. So in that case, we want the case numbers to go up dramatically, but what we really need to look at, the only count that really matters, is the number of deaths. And for that, we need to be honest about that and not conflate dying with COVID and dying of COVID. And also, would be really, really helpful to see, you know, how many of these people were likely to have died of something within, say, a year. And just so we know what we're working with, right? But that's not what we're seeing. So, yeah, my goal is challenge misrepresentations of truth, get to what the truth is of this situation. From everything that I've seen, and this has stayed consistent for months, it's this whole lockdown situation is completely, completely and utterly misguided. Like, who benefited from this? Who are benefiting from this? Like, only people who are already doing well, right? Only people who are already doing well. I mean, Amazon, honestly. So I have shares in Amazon, and they're worth a truck ton more now than they were, you know, at the beginning of the year. I actually bought some last year at like close to 2,000, and then it dropped because it was on a tear, and I was like, shit, let me buy in before it goes up higher. And then it dropped down to about 1,800 and kind of hovered there for a long time. Then COVID hit, right? Then the pandemic came. Now they're over 3,000, these shares. So I've made bank on this shit. But I'm not out to make bank on this. I want regular people to be able to have a life and a business and you just see other people, you know? See other people, be real, be a human again. And it's crazy to me that we've gotten this far away from just common sense. And like, the underlying thing is this fear of disease, fear of death. Keep in mind, death is a natural part of life. It really is. We're supposed to die, right? There are other civilizations, there are other places in the world where they have a much more dignified relationship with death, where it's not seen as something awful, right? Like, it's the natural end. We're here for a period of time, and we do our work, and then we go get out of here, right? This idea that we need to keep people alive forever. Our souls are eternal, right? Our souls are eternal. So we don't die. I don't die. My physical body dies, right? My physical incarnation dies, and that's natural. It's supposed to, right? Whenever it's supposed to. God is in charge of that. Like, God knows when I'm supposed to die, and God will make sure that I die at that time, right? Like, it's not up to me. If God wanted me to be dead right now, I would be dead right now. Clearly, God wants me to be alive right now. That's how I look at it. It's not up to me, right? I do my work, I do my thing, and then I die when I die. There's a great audio by Ram Dass, who, by the way, also passed recently. As far as I know, not COVID related. Ram Dass, I forget what it's called. I have the audiobook. It's like a 10-hour thing. Yeah, I bought it on Audible. It's phenomenal. There's so much good stuff in there. But one of the things in there that he talks about is this place in India where people go to die. I think they go there when they know they're about to die, and there's this like peace and calm and dignity at this place. Like, they all know that they're about to, you know, take the ticket. Is that the expression? And they're almost like pitying the people who are not about to die, because they're like, you know, you're going around all frantic and excited, anxious and you know, nervous and stressed out, and you know, just like chill, man, chill for fuck's sake. Like, just enjoy life a little bit, right? Like, if we live life so scared of dying that we're not really living, why the fuck are we even bothering with this thing? Why, right? If every day is just this, like, anxious, you know, move to get through the day so that we may survive another day, why? If that's all you got, why? We're here for a time, and then we're gone. That's it. And then we'll come back in a different body, in a different context, with a different purpose. Like, stop taking life so seriously, guys. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Like, this is all just the illusion. It really is. It's just, doesn't mean that we don't get into it. Like, we watch a movie and you enjoy it, right? But it's all just part of the big illusion. We're here for a time. Make the most of it. Find out who you're here to become, what you're here to do. Your purpose, right? Find your purpose. Go for that. Find, work every day on becoming who you're here to become. And that person ain't fucking scared, I'll tell you that. That person that you're here to become is not scared. So if you're living in a state of anxiety, you're doing it wrong. It's okay to feel fear. It's great to feel fear. It's awesome to feel fear. And then you breathe. You breathe into that fear. You let it go. Deep sigh. And then you feel the excitement underneath that fear. And then you live from excitement. You live from a state of excitement. That's what you do. That's when you're alive. Fuck that anxiety bullshit. It's not helpful. It's not helpful. It's not what you're meant to do. It is not how life's supposed to be. My friend and mentor, Bengt Valentino Anderson, he was one of the ones that actually pointed out very early on that this coronavirus thing is nothing, is not a big deal. Immune system is the name of the game, guys. Take some vitamin D and stay happy, stay social, stay connected, work out daily. All right, today is Saturday. It's my non-workout day, so I only did 45 minutes of Pafi. Go to bvafit.com and sign up for Pafi, by the way. You will not regret it. It's freaking awesome. I love it so much. And yes, that is my site. I partner with Bengt to bring that to you because it's so amazing. So do all those things and then you have nothing to worry about. Problem is that most Americans are so disconnected from their bodies, right? A lot of people in the West are very disconnected from their bodies. And so you kind of just want to outsource your body to your doctor or like wear a mask. There's plenty of studies showing that wearing a mask actually makes you more likely to contract an influenza-like disease, right? So you may be protecting someone else by keeping your, you know, bodily fluids closer to you, but you are increasing the likelihood that you get sick. Plus, like, just breathing your own air like that. I mean, like, how does anyone think that that could be particularly healthy to wear a mask and breathe through a mask all the time? And, like, rebreathe your same air rather than get something new. I don't understand that. So, yeah, build your own immune system. So, Bengt's father, his name is Ole, he passed away, but he wrote a book that I love. I actually want to get it translated. I should get back on that game. And in there, he talks about this exam stomach. So notice for yourself right now, how is your belly? Is it tight? Your lower belly, is it tight? Is there tension down there? Or is it free, relaxed, and open? It should be free, relaxed, and open. When you stand up, in fact, your belly should be like hanging out a little bit. That's healthy. Most of us live with a lot of tension there. We pull it in because we think it looks better, and you know, we end up breathing shallow, and we carry a lot of tension down there because we're constantly living in this constant state of anxiety. We're constantly afraid of something. saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, you know, of offending anyone, and of getting sick, right? Of not succeeding, of being a failure, a loser, all these things. I used to live that way. Absolutely, I did. I used to live that way. And it's not healthy. And it's getting worse. It's getting a lot worse. So fear, guys, fear is enemy number one. I don't want to make it an enemy. But get over the fear. Relax, breathe into the present moment. Right now, you're okay. Read spiritual books. Read Byron Katie. Go pick up Ram Dass. His audio stuff is amazing. Ellen Watts is fantastic. Like, immerse yourself in this stuff. Immerse yourself in it. Stuart Wilde is phenomenal. All right, really get into this so that you get to experience that moment of just complete freedom. Pafai also is great. BBA yoga, which is also part of the BBA club. Again, I'm not saying this because, like, I'm not doing all this to just promote that stuff. I'm doing this to help you. But, like, get past that fear. Do not... that. I think this is the thing that annoys me the most about society as it is today, is that we pat ourselves on the back of, like, being afraid. Oh, it's for safety. Oh, it's for safety. And then we think that we're doing good. We're not. We're doing harm. We're making shit worse by this overdone focus on safety, being driven by fear. Like, a friend of mine had a baby a couple years ago, and, like, I went to see them, and I was, like, gonna, you know, grab, you know, give this baby, you know, my index finger, and so they could grab, which is what babies do, right? And then they're like, whoa, whoa, stop. First, like, hand sanitizer. I'm like, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, are you crazy? Like, you don't understand the first thing about how humans function, do you? Like, you want your baby to get all kinds of germs because you want them to build their immune system, right? If you go through life never getting to build your immune system, never getting exposed to germs, you're going to be easily knocked over when a virus hits, like COVID, right? It's not a way to live. It's not how we're supposed to live. It's not how the human body was supposed to work. So, yeah, get over your fear, guys. Make that your number one priority. Sherry Huber has a great book called The Fear Book. Also, there's tons of great literature on this stuff. Make fear your number one focus. Getting over fear, getting from fear to excitement, right? Fear to calm. Fear to presence. That should be your number one move. And then start living life again. Life is for the living, not the half dead. Don't be half dead. Don't be one of the fog people that just believe whatever the fuck is thrown at them by the media. It's not helpful, guys. It's not helpful. Breathe, relax, think for yourself. Go be curious. Be curious. The worst is when people think they have all the answers. That's not the way to grow. And be curious. Keep an open mind and an open heart. And get over your fear. All right. Have a great, great day, guys. Love you. Thanks for being here. See you soon. Bye. We are done.